to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Greetings, this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm your host, Surfer. Glad you could join us today. This is a pay-per-view weekend, so you're getting a doubleheader of shows. After this show at 7 p.m., you will get a live episode of the WWE pre-show for its upcoming pay-per-view. Or is it Payback or... Who cares at this point? It's a pay-per-view, and it's wrestling. But right now, we're not talking wrestling, we're talking comic books. And that's what this show is for. And stuff related to comic books. So, yes, What Are You Reading comic book show? And let me introduce Jordan, because he helps me with this show. I found him as an orphan, raised him, trained him in the ways of comic book wisdom. And now he helps me out. So, Jordan Cobb, how are you?
Yes, hello. And this will all be mine one day, right?
No.
Oh.
Get your own shit.
Oh, fuck this then. I'm out.
Okay, I've been waiting for you to sit there for a long time now.
Okay, upside, I would no longer watch Gotham. Downside, I would no longer have a radio show.
So how have you been?
I've been good. Been doing good. Doing fine.
You know, we need to address something important in the world. This is 9/11. And so we, you know, all those who celebrate 9/11, for those who lost someone that the day 15 years ago, we wish you well. I don't know if I'm saying the right words, but if I'm not, sorry, you know, it's a tragic day in the history of the United States, and you know, we pray that nothing like that ever happens again. So, is it something you say like for 9/11? You don't say you're happy or anything. We haven't gotten to the point where we go out for furniture sales yet, have we?
No.
Good. I mean,
oh, yeah.
At some point, that's what this will turn into. It'll turn into, you know, remembrance, somberance, and flags to another 10, 15 years. Get 50% off that couch.
You want new hardwood floors? This is a bomb of a deal. That's what they're going to say.
And then we also have to bring up the other tragedy that happened. CM Punk got his ass whipped last night. And I know a lot of people that hurts, but Son of God is dead. Son of God in wrestling is dead. They'll talk about it more on his network, but CM Punk got beat the fuck up.
Yeah, but you know what? He went out and did it, so good on him.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw the fight, yeah.
You see it live, you saw the video.
I had a friend text me when he knew it was happening, so yeah.
Okay. My week's been okay. Trying to get a little bit more sleep in my life. But, you know, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Nothing else to report on. Still haven't hit the lottery yet. When I do.
Keyword yet.
Yeah, because when I do. You talking about it. You talking about it going big time. I'm going to have I'm a 24/7 comic book podcast. Broadcasting. So.
24/7.
Anyway. Yep. Not me, but a network. Anyway, dreams are for later. Right now, we need to get to the business of news and reviews.
Yeah, my week's been going good. Thanks for asking.
I did ask you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know, I'm fucking working. Still here drinking vanilla Coke. The greatest soda ever.
Well, if you say so.
Goddamn right I say
and,
so.
You know what? I love Coke. But I prefer just a plain Coke. Pepsi with flavors, that I like. And I'm not a big regular Pepsi drinker, but a cherry Pepsi, delicious.
Wild cherry Pepsi is amazing.
Yeah.
I love wild cherry Pepsi. That is delicious.
Even what lime in it is cool. Like, Pepsi tastes better with flavors than Coke do. Coke is just better, just straight up, hardcore, classic Coke.
I love regular Coke, but damn, vanilla Coke is just.
I don't know about all that. You ever had a Coke too?
Or we both know I haven't.
No, I don't know.
Okay, well, no, I've never had. I never had Coke too.
See, yeah, listen, I don't, you know, I know you're younger than me, but I don't know how.
I was born in 89.
Right, I don't know how long Coke 2 lasted, whether you've ever had a chance to taste it or not. I remember.
Okay. Fair enough.
I didn't think Coke 2 tasted bad, but when that came out, and it wasn't Coke 2 at the time, it was just, you know, they advertised they were changing the formula to Coke. So Coke 2 was just regular Coke, and people just balked at it. And Coke was trying to taste more like Pepsi. And people did not like that shit.
Hold on. Little homie in the chat room. What's up? You can't have vanilla Coke. That drink is sissy. Hey, you got to smoke some of this, man. What the fuck are you smoking, little homie?
Hey, homie.
I mean,
don't start with little homie. Homie, don't play that.
I know homie don't play that, but I'd like to know what he's smoking, just for context and all that.
So then that's when they came up with the bright idea. Like, we're gonna have classic Coke and.
Yeah, I remember they had Bill Cosby heading up that campaign.
And then they said, well, the new Coke is Coke 2. And classic Coke, and then it just whipped the fuck back being Coke. And probably, I don't
remember that. I read about that.
Okay, well, a little history lesson. Anyway, tell little homie and the rest of the people listening how they can join us.
Why, yes, little homie, if you want to regale us with whatever it is you're smoking, feel free to let us know. Sorry, I had something in my throat. Via Skype. That's one of two ways to join us. Skype. Look up SilverSurfer_forever. All lowercase to help your search. Add that contact and call on in. Or you can join me, Surfer, little homie, and Phil from Turnbuckle Throwbacks. In the Listen Live chat room, www.rentianrio.com/chat. Listen to us live. Where you can listen to us live and join us. And it is again at www.rantemradio.com/chat-live.
Phil, it's against.
Where you can.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, where you can also listen to us when we're not on the air. If you're not able to join us live, that's a shame. But once this show is done, we will play on a loop. This will be rebroadcast in a loop for the and same protocol with all the other shows up until the next live episode of that show goes live. But if you can't listen to us that way, I understand. You're a busy person. I'm a busy person. We're hustling, bustling. We gotta do what we can in this crazy, 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 crazy world. I get that. And so there are numerous ways which you can listen to us and all the other fine shows of Rant Entertainment Media Radio at any time you want on any device anywhere. The TuneIn app. TuneIn. Download that today for your Android and or iOS devices. It can also be downloaded on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Thinking, oh, I just had a good round on Dark Souls. I want to unwind. Maybe listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Or to Where You're Reading Comic Book Show. Or to Rant. You can do that on your Xbox One via the TuneIn app. You can also listen to us on Stitcher Internet Radio, Podbean, or on Blog Talk Radio, and of course, the almighty iTunes. iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcasting section. And while you're there subscribing, rate us 5 stars. Leave a review. That would be grateful. Find us on Facebook. Search for Where You're Reading Comic Book Show on Facebook. Like us, because we update the page daily with all the news. And since we'll be discussing on the show later in the week, we also talk to our fans. If you want to ask us a question or want to start a live conversation, do so. Me and Sir will talk to you. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Joe Woko. J-O-W-O-C-O. Surfer, where are you?
Well, on Twitter, I'm SilverSurfer4FOR. If you want to friend me on Facebook, unfortunately, because Facebook has wonky rules, look for the name Jimmy Harvey. Now, that is not my real name, but that is the name I have to use on Facebook. And you can friend me on Facebook, and I will be happy to talk comics with you or anything else that's not crazy and not about Trump. Okay, as long as you ain't talking about Trump, we can be cool. We can be homies.
Yes. We can be as cool as the Green Bay Packers are in just defeating the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So yeah! You can be the little homie. I can be the big homie. We can all be homies.
Let's all be homies together.
You my homie already.
Don't you? I know. Yeah. And I respect that. And you my homie too.
Anyway, I got a little box office numbers for you.
Movies, you know, making money. Tell me about it.
Most controversial movie of the summer that some people dislike and some people liked and no evidence. Split down the middle. Suicide Squad. Still hanging up in the top five. Came in fourth place. Brought in another $5.6 million.
Good on down.
Its gross total is now $307 million. So it's a worldwide total. $699 million. It's basically a hit for what it is. Kubo and the Two Strings dropped down to sixth place, $3.2 million. It's brought in $40 million. It was a $60 million movie, but it might get its money back worldwide. It's up to $49 million worldwide. So I finally saw the end of Kubo. Kind of dug it. Peach Dragon, seventh place. Added $2.9 million for a $70 million haul. It was a $65 million budget. It brought in $102 million domestic. And then Sausage Party came in 10th place. The adult comedy, $2.3 million. Its haul is $93 million domestic. And $113 worldwide. So, if you want to see Sausages and Buns, that's your movie. You know how about sausages sliding in the buns, right, Jordan? I've lost Jordan.
I'm right here.
Oh, you didn't reply.
I was just waiting on you to finish.
No, I asked you a question.
What was the question?
I said, you know about sausages sliding in the buns, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a hot dog last night. It was great.
What kind of hot dog? Turkey?
No, actual hot dog. Like, grilled. Properly grilled.
Like, you had a beef pork mix hot dog?
Yeah.
Disgusting. got pork in it. Anyway, that's another story for another day.
I don't care because I had me some grilled dogs.
Okay. Okay. A couple of movies are coming out that you could see in the big screen. First one, we all like that Batman from the 60s. You know, we at some point we watched it as a kid and thought it was how superheroes would play until you got older and you realized it was campy. But you still like it. You still watch it if you catch it on TV. Ooh, Adam West, Burt Ward, holy moly, Batman. And, of course, they have a book based on it, Batman 66, very popular.
Great book.
And now, of course, we talked about earlier that they're making an animated movie of Batman Return of the Caped Crusader with Adam West and Burt Ward voicing the roles of Batman and Robin. And, of course, that's coming out on video. But you can now
premiering at New York Comic Con.
New York Comic Con, yes. But now you can see it in the theater for one night only. Just like they did The Killing Joke. Batman: The Return of the Caped Crusader was swinging the theaters one night only on... what's the date on that? Hold on, sorry. I clicked on the wrong thing. My bad, 1 second. October 19th, and it'll be two showings around 7:30 and 10. You can get your tickets through Phantom Events, .com. I don't know if it's going to be as popular as The Killing Joke was in the theater, but you know you can order tickets now. I don't know if people care about this next one, but. Yo-Kai Watch, the movie event, is coming out on Phantom Events. Normally, I wouldn't post something like that, but since I was checking Phantom Events, so I said, why not? That'll be on April 15th. I have not really watched the episode of Yo-Kai Watch, but I think Lee likes Yo-Kai Watch. I know they made a big deal about it at last year's New York Comic Con. They had a whole room on it and was teaching how to play the game. We were talking about the cartoon coming out and it's video games and card games and I don't know how popular it became over the last year, but Yo-Kai Watch, people.
Cool.
Isn't it?
Cool.
Getting more animation in the theaters.
More of them cartoons.
Yeah, you know, those tunes.
Them Toony Tunes. Some might call him loony.
All right, so what do you want to go with first?
No, I'm kidding. Well, I guess we just gotta get the big shit out of the way. Alan Moore is officially retired from comic books.
Yeah.
I don't see what other story to go with.
Legendary writer and crazy son of a bitch, Alan Moore, who's given us a lot of classics like The Killing Joke, what we just talked about, Watchmen. V for Vendetta.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yes. A lot of DC, but then, of course, he did a little Marvel, he did Image,
creator of John Constantine from his legendary run on Swamp Thing. Which pretty much helped set up the Vertigo imprint.
Did a legendary run on Miracle Man.
Yes.
Which Marvel just reprinted, but he didn't want his name attached to it for some reason. Nah, like, none of his old stuff he wanted his name attached to, so.
Yeah. But he confirmed this during a conference promoting his latest novel. He said he plans to retire. He said he has about 250 pages of comics left in him. He said he'll enjoy the remainder of his comic book writings and that he has several projects already in the works. A couple issues of an Avatar press book. Part of the H.P. Lovecraft work that he's been working on recently. And finishing up Cinema Purgatorio. And a final book, and a final League of Extraordinary Gentlemen book.
Now, he's not retiring from totally writing, he's just retiring from comics. And
yeah, comic books, yeah. He's retiring from comics.
And,
books.
You know, some people will say he hasn't done anything good in a long time anyway. And whether that's true or not, that's up to you.
He's become more focused in prose novels. Like I said, he was on, like I said, this came out during the tour for his recent, for his upcoming novel, Jerusalem, which comes out later this week.
Like, he's definitely be known as somebody who helped change the direction of the comic industry. Coming out with Dark Knight Returns and The Watchmen. Like, you know, books didn't have that dark, hard edge. I mean, not that it never existed, but it showed it could exist. You could make something more mature, and people would consume it.
Uh-huh.
And so, he didn't do Dark Knight Returns. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, well, it was in, it was around that same time, like Watchmen as well, like 86, is where that big boom took off.
Right.
Alan Moore's leaving comics, people. Let's get ready for that.
What do you think? Sad? Don't care?
I thought he'd already kind of stopped. Excuse me. I thought he'd already kind of stopped a few years ago. Like, he just didn't seem that interested anymore, especially with all these people wanting to adapt his works and him being the surly old grandpa being like,
I'm just glad he went out to listen to Alan Moore is unhappy about this and he's unhappy about that.
Oh, we're most likely still going to hear that. Alan, because everyone keeps asking those questions and their show shows like, oh my God, you don't like, you asked him. Jesus, shut up. Alan Moore is a cranky grandpa who prays to a snake god. All right? That's like grandpa go pray
Wait,
to a
well,
snake
you,
god.
Is that confirmed that he prays a set?
Yeah, Vishnu. Yeah, it's a common fucking
thing. Which snake god does he pray to?
Vishnu.
Not Set. I mean, Set's ancient.
Oh, god damn it. The snake god Vishnu.
What religion is that?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I'll look at... I don't know.
Don't worry about it.
All right, anyway. I just thought that, you know, he'd already kind of stopped with comics, but... Okay. That's fine. So, good luck to Alan Moore. I mean, again, he's still going to be writing, but just not comic books anymore. He seems over that, and whatever. But we're still going to hear Alan Moore's cranky about this. We still are. People are always going to want to ask him about that shit.
This is not news, but did you get a chance to watch that Ryan Porter video yet?
What? Yeah, I did.
Alright, so you think they should do it?
He's a really good actor, and goddamn, yeah, let's let him be Tim Drake.
No, I don't think he. I thought he wanted to be Damian Wayne. What we're talking about, people, you know, Ben Affleck is co-writing and directing the upcoming Batman movie, but we still have not seen a full-fledged Robin since Batman and Robin. And we're not talking about an adult Robin, but a young teenage or even an adolescent Robin. So Ryan Porter, who did one of the voices in Big Hero 6 and knows some martial arts.
The lead voice, Hero.
Right. Yeah, he sent a video to Ben Affleck because he's saying, hey, you know, you could cast me as Robin because Batman needs a Robin.
Look at the article. It says Tim Drake.
I could have swore he said...
No, the video... Okay, even the video he posted...
Right, I heard him say in the video because I know Tim Drake in the comic book one time said...
Batman
needs a Robin.
Yeah, that's Tim Drake. The video also says Tim Drake concept fight.
Okay, never mind. You're right. Screw you, you're right.
Sorry, I did my research.
I hope you're happy.
Sorry, I did my research.
I'm not, and you're going to pay a price now. Anyway.
For doing my job.
See, I think they've did us wrong long enough. Let's get a fully realized Robin in these movies.
No,
not somebody running around and at the end of the movie, oh, your real name is Robin. That's cute.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I mean, I like Ryan Potter, and as I've said before, Tim Drake's my favorite Robin. And to see that he actually gets Tim Drake, not just fight moves, but also understanding why he became Robin, is be like, yeah, I, you know, kind of figured out Bruce Wayne's Batman, and also, dude, you cannot do this alone. You need a Robin. Chill the hell out.
Well,
I'll do this.
The thing was, he proved, like, if you look at each Robin, they each had something unique about them. You know, Dick Grayson, he was already academically gifted, so it wasn't hard to teach him how to fight. Like, you know, all those flips in the air, he was halfway there to learn how to fight. He just had to learn the rest. Tim Drake was already a great detective from like the age of five. Like, when he was little, he realized from day one that Dick Grayson was Robin, because he was in the audience the night Dick Grayson's parents died, and Batman swooped in, and then Dick Grayson got consoled and whatever, and then next thing you know, Bruce Wayne's adopting Dick Grayson, and then Robin's on the scene. It didn't take him long to figure that out. Now, what's the other guy's name? What's the other guy? Jason Todd, yeah. Well, you know, he had street smarts and knew how to, you know, survive, and that helped him, you know, acclimate himself to becoming a Robin, but made him a little reckless. That's why he got beat to death.
His boss is a bit of annoying shit, too.
And then, you know, Damien, he's been trained from day one to be a motherfucking ruler, so. And, so. Let's get a Robin in there.
Let's do Tim Drake, people. Tim Drake specifically.
We can do Tim Drake, we can do, we can do Damien, doesn't matter, as long as we do a Robin. Let's do a adult Dick Grayson while we at it, and, you know, have Nightwing
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Maybe we can change something up in the fucking DCEU.
Anyway.
So, Surfer, I know we weren't particularly fans of Batman v Superman.
But
apparently Mel Gibson thinks it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I saw the article and I posted it. And when I see something like that, it makes me want to rethink my way of life. And it makes me want to change my mind about the movie. Now, I don't hate Batman v Superman.
I know.
You hate it because you're young.
I hate it because it's a bad movie.
I'm more mature about these things. But Mel Gibson, I don't know if he's standing on a good leg when you hear him say it was bad, or just that he don't get it, or it's just that he's just being Mel Gibson, being nasty Mel Gibson.
Well, he was talking about the modest budget of Hacksaw Ridge, his upcoming World War II film. Oh, no, Vietnam.
Oh, so it's all about promoting his film.
What war film? He said, he was asked about it. It's like, it's a piece of shit. I'm not interested in that stuff. Do you know what the difference between real superheroes and comic book superheroes? Real superheroes don't wear spandex, so I don't know. Spandex must cost.
Which means he wouldn't know what to do with a comic book movie.
Yeah, apparently he said, he kept on saying it's like, I'm really baffled by it. I think there's a lot of ways, but maybe if I did one of those things, it was with the green screens, I'd find out different.
Well, we don't have to worry about you ever doing a comic book movie unless you come up with your own.
Yeah.
Marvel and DC, they're not calling you. And let's be honest, the more you open your mouth, the less people go see your movies. It's like,
although
you've
apparently
done
Hacksaw Ridge's latest film getting plenty of good buzz.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the audience is going to go out and see it. I mean, when's the last time somebody ran out and saw a Mel Gibson movie? I'll wait. We only got an hour and a half.
The Beaver apparently was good.
Who saw it?
People.
What people?
People. Just people, man. People saw it.
Yeah, three people saw it. Well, I'm not going to use up the rest of the hour and a half to wait on you, so we're moving on. Mel Gibson, do us a favor. Keep quiet. You want to make movies, make them, and just keep quiet. And then if you keep your mouth shut, maybe people will come around to forgiving you and going to see your movies. But you've pissed off a lot of people.
Holy cow.
And, you know, one day that pack is going to get you.
Okay, you said you wanted to move on.
I'm just saying, you know, that pack is going to get him one day. That pack hadn't forgot what he said.
All right. Well, as we have said, as we reported on, every episode of Luke Cage will be named after Gangstar song. And the full list of that came out this week.
Yeah, we're 20 days away from the premiere of Luke Cage on Netflix and whatever.
19. We're 19 days away.
What did I say? 20?
Yeah.
All right. This is a day. Come on, now, give me a break.
Sorry if I do my math.
Stop correcting me. You're embarrassing.
Anyway. The episodes are as followed: Moment of Truth, Code of the Streets, Who's Gonna Take the Weight, Step in the Arena, Just to Get a Rep, Suckers Need Bodyguards, Manifest, Blowing Up the Spot, DWYCK, Take It Personal, Now You're Mine, Soliloquy of Chaos, You Know My Steves.
You know any of those songs?
I know some of them.
Which ones?
Moment of Truth, Who's Gonna Take the Weight, Second Seat Bodyguards, Blown Up the Spot, Take It Personal, Soliloquy of Chaos. I personally love Soliloquy of Chaos myself.
Hey, you know, you're such a hip-hop head, Jordan. You seem so,
White.
I didn't want to say it, but
white as shit.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Hey, I like hip hop. I like rap. That's fine. I mean, I like what I like. For fuck's sake.
Speaking of Netflix, our girl, Jessica Jones, winning into some Emmys.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones won the Creative Arts Emmy. And the real Emmys haven't taken place yet, but you know.
Oh yeah, those are next week.
But Jessica Jones won its very first Emmy Award on Saturday, earning the Creative Arts Trophy for Outstanding Original Main Title Theme Music.
Yes, and I imagine if the real Jessica Jones, were truly real, she'd be like, "This is cool, I guess. Thanks," and then walk off and go get a shot.
Keep talking.
I mean, it's a great title sequence, and it's just so perfectly noir and fitting of the series itself, so that's awesome. Congrats to Jessica Jones, Netflix, and Marvel. If you haven't checked out all of Jessica Jones yet, the fuck is wrong with you? It's a great series. It's amazing. Go out and watch it.
Yeah, you should have seen it by now. And you should have seen Daredevil season 1 and 2. I still haven't watched the last 2 episodes of Daredevil. That's my bad, but I've watched most of it. So,
what are you thinking?
Well, definitely the strongest episode was the one in prison with the Kingpin, him and the Punisher.
That's a great one.
From what I've seen, that's the strongest episode.
Okay.
And that's you know what? I wish we could get a whole Kingpin season. Really, I mean, I doubt they would get around to that, but I definitely could go for a whole season of the Kingpin.
We kind of got that with the first season.
No. I mean, like him not dealing with.
Okay, you want a Kingpin spinoff show.
Right, him either, you know, building his way back up to being the boss, or how he became the boss before he
compelling
ran
into anti-hero
Daredevil,
arc.
Before he ran into Daredevil. I mean, they got the actor to pull it off, and they've proven they can write a compelling story about the Kingpin. So, but it don't even have to be a full 12, 13 episode arc. It could just be 5. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah, look at British TV. They can get a whole story done 4 episodes.
This is a suggestion, Marvel. I know y'all listen to this show, and you know we thank you for listening. And you can call me anytime you want if you want sage advice and put me on the payroll. I wouldn't mind.
Now over to the DC Extended Universe. There's plenty of news here. Last week we talked about that cryptic footage Ben Affleck posted of someone dressed as Deathstroke.
Yeah, Deathstroke the Terminator.
Yeah, well, it's been confirmed. That's Joe Manganiello from True Blood and Big Dick Richie from Magic Mike. He'll be playing Deathstroke in Ben Affleck's solo Batman film, but no word if he's officially going to be in Justice League, even though that was done on set of Justice League.
I think that's an interesting casting one, because Ben Affleck, he's a pretty tall dude, and you got somebody even bigger than him, so it makes Deathstroke look imposing. Now, personally, I don't think Deathstroke is a match for Batman per se, unless it's the Young Justice version of Deathstroke. But Deathstroke still, if done right, he can be formidable enough to be a good villain. And you know, finally, we're moving away from someone other than the Joker.
No, I agree. I think Manganiello is a fantastic choice. I think he's a really good actor, and he's already got like an imposing physical.
Of course, now you waste him for a Teen Titans movie, because he is a Teen Titans villain.
Well, the Teen Titans villain,
right? So, I mean, maybe you can bring him back if you ever do a Teen Titans live-action movie. But DC got a long way to go to get they act together for a Teen Titans movie. And knowing them, they're probably too afraid to do it anyway.
And speaking of getting their act together, that's one of the stories. Apparently, Geoff Johns has been talking about some adjustments with Justice League. So, mistakenly in the past, I think the studio has said, oh, DC films are gritty and dark, and that's what makes them different. That couldn't be wrong. It's a hopeful and optimistic view of life. Even Batman has a glimmer of hope of that in him. If he didn't think that he'd make it tomorrow better, he'd stop. And by the way, that's actual great understanding of Batman.
Well, that was the conundrum of what's going on,
and also of DC heroes as a whole.
That was the conundrum of what's going on in these movie universes. Like DC on print has always been a more brighter, optimistic view of things, and Marvel was the darker. You know, if you ever read Avengers versus Justice League, you know it was mentioned that, you know, the Marvel Earth was a lot dirtier, and the heroes struggled more to take on the villains, and the DC universe was a lot more brighter. So yeah. When it came to the films, you got the Marvel universe, and you know they put a lot of humor in there, and
yeah, exactly.
It never gets too dark. I mean, let's see, what's the darkest film they've had? Winter Soldier.
You're Marvel. Maybe Civil. I would say Winter Soldier.
I wouldn't even say Civil War. Winter Soldier, probably.
Yeah, Winter Soldier. It's Winter Soldier.
And but then DC thinks, oh, let's be Batman in all our films and have people smash other people's heads in and be dark. And that's not Superman.
No, it's not. That's also not Wonder Woman or The Flash or Cyborg, Green Lantern, or Aquaman. God damn it! But apparently they've been hearing that. They've actually realized, oh, this is actually what DC is about. And John just said, like, fan reactions to John Justice has accelerated the hope and optimism for the Justice League film, and also revealed that Batman's default mode of extreme violence and his attempted murder of Superman in Dawn of Justice is being addressed in the film.
I mean, even Batman, even though he'll leave you crippled, he knows killing is making him no better than the villains he's going after.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and there will be less dream sequences of Zack Snyder loved to put into Dawn of Justice, saying it'll focus on the actual plot of the film at hand. So, okay, that's good to hear. I will wait till I see it, but that's good to hear. But
I want to hear. Okay, let's see what happens once Justice League comes out, and let's say it's not a $1 billion hit. Who's going to point at who for its flaws? If Geoff Johns going to say, well,
Geoff Johns going to take that spear.
Is Geoff Johns going to point at Snyder? Is Snyder going to point at somebody? Or are they just going
to... It'll all work back to David Goyer.
Okay.
But speaking of Justice League, the cast of the Justice League took time out of the filming to address the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline situation going on right now.
Yeah, I mean... we all wish life was easy, but there are problems in this world that
yes,
and yes, there's stuff going on in this country that this is not the forum to go over it, but yeah, it's some serious stuff, and at least
yeah,
they, you know, you got some star celebrities using their profile to bring to light something that's probably would consider an injustice. Going on in this country.
Yes,
with greedy corporations.
Ben Affleck, Ray Fisher, Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, and Ezra Miller all got together, put a video out on Change.org's YouTube, saying, as a gang of Earth Defenders, we want to send a big shout-out to the Aseti Sokolin, sorry if I fucked that up, and those that stand in them, with them in opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline. So, you know what? It's actually good to see the Justice League doing something very much like the Justice League. That's awesome. I like that.
Real heroes doing real things.
And the last bit of DC... two more bits of DCEU news. Henry Allen, Barry Allen's dad for Ezra Miller's Flash film, may have found it's Henry Allen with Billy Crudup, a.k.a. Dr. Manhattan, a.k.a. that guy with the giant swinging blue dick in Watchmen.
Yeah, well, the TV show had his father till recently, and then not recently, because with Flashpoint coming up,
yeah, still got a father.
Yeah, but so in the book, is his father still around?
Yeah,
is he a big part of it.
Yeah, he is.
Did he ever go to jail for the mother's murder? Yeah,
yes,
is he still in jail?
What? No, he's not in jail.
That's nice. Nice to hear.
I would say read it, because The Flash is one of the best books out right now. Dead serious. Loving it. Billy Crudup been casted as Henry Allen. So, that's good. I like Crudup. He's a good actor. Last bit of news, and it's sort of related to the... Oh, wait. Oh, shit, I forgot two more stories. Goddamn. All right. Suicide Squad. Deleted scenes. Ooh, you wanted more Jared Leto. Whatever. Someone's put together a compilation of leaked set videos, as well as paused clips of Joker and the Harley Quinn. Deleted scenes. Out there on YouTube. So you can see what all masterful moments of Jared Leto's apparently got cut. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's been bitching that, he had more to do
with
the...
Felt like he was tricked into doing that.
He had more to do with the original story. And it may be true, and it would have made it a better film. It definitely would have... To a lot of people, it would have made more sense had the film been about them going up against the Joker or stopping the Joker or teaming up with the Joker than what they ended up facing in that third act. So,
no, I fully agree. Now, this is slightly related to the DCEU. We all know Greg Berlanti's getting ready to help bring up a Booster Gold film. He's writing a screenplay. and he said, and he spoke with Walter, says it might not be connected to the DCEU, saying, as of right now, we have no connective tissue to those worlds. It'd be a separate thing. He also talked about how he had a Booster Gold TV project with Andrew Kreisberg, of course, his partner within all the Arrowverse shows, that never got off the ground at Sci-Fi.
Of course not.
And apparently Berlanti expressed interest in directing as well. He said, I'm attached to a few films at Warner Brothers. Now and one, Booster Gold's a DC property. Zach Stentz, who wrote an episode of Flash this year, just got the job. So he's writing the script now. I'd probably direct that, or I would want to. And I think Berlanti on Booster Gold would definitely be a good sign of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Berlanti, we talked last week about how he is helping to develop a Black Lightning TV series. Well, apparently it's already been picked up by Fox.
Okay. Sorry. Give me a second. Because I got something to play for that.
Okay.
And you're not going to like it, Jordan. But listen. Here I'm about a Black Lightning TV show? Yeah, of course. Happy.
Yeah, it's cool.
But the other news you just said?
Yeah.
Well, this is what I think. Listen carefully, people.
All right.
Black Lightning, it was fun knowing you while it lasted. But you're being sent to Fox. And Fox is going to F it up. And they'll cancel you within a season.
Why haven't they done that for Gotham?
Why haven't they done it for Gotham?
Yeah.
Because they know you like it.
Fuck you. Fuck Fox, then.
I'm going to put that in your record that you cursed at your boss. Anyway.
I don't care. There is no record.
I keep a file. Anyway. Okay. I don't trust Fox. Because Fox gets shows and they show them out of order. And they don't give them a chance to build up a fan base before they deep six it. And I really don't trust them with a show dealing with black people.
Here's the thing. They seem to
even,
do that.
Listen. Sorry, real quick before I let you go.
No.
Empire has been immensely successful. But I guarantee you they had no clue that show would be so successful. They probably thought they was going to cancel it halfway through the first season. So I'm not going to be tricked into Fox to think they're going to bring more diversity to that network. They're not. And we'll see what they do with Black Lightning. But it better not be... It better not be stereotypical. It better be smart, and it better have a budget, I don't want no cheap effects. I don't want them because they don't want to put no money behind the show, so you don't see a lot of lightning, and you see a lot of jive talking. I just don't. Hey, until I see something concrete, I'm gonna step back and wait. Go ahead, Jordan.
I mean, Fox seems, with dumb shit, Fox seems to keep all that going for a while. Or at least a moderately decent show. But when they got something brilliant that's really out there and people are really responding to, they don't know what the fuck to do with that.
And Black Lightning was created in the 70s.
Yeah, Bob's Burger's still going on. I'm glad Bob's Burger's still around at least.
Well, they have a history of keeping animated shows. But, so, yeah, he was created in the 70s by Tony Isabella. And we talked about it last week. We were talking about picking it up. And
yeah.
And we hope that Tony's going to get a little coin for his creation.
As well as the artist.
Yeah. But, I'll cross my finger that they'll do a good show. I won't be surprised if it's doo doo, because it's Fox.
Lucifer's still pretty good. Looking forward to that.
Lucifer's that kind of network show, even though the Million Moms is gunning for it.
Yeah. By the way, Show is brought to you by Olive Garden.
Yes, the sworn enemy of the Million Mom March. Listen, you brought up Lucifer. So, yeah, a promo came out with Teresa Helfer.
Trisha
Helfer. As Lucifer's mother, which is what season 2 going to be about, which is she's escaped hell. You know, that's a messed up family that if you know, the mom has been sent to hell. Like why ain't the mom and dad getting along? And when Lucifer was ready to go back to hell, because season 1 was him saying he was tired of being, you know, running hell, and he wanted to be on Earth, and he had a nightclub, and he found a way of distracting himself by helping this detective solve crimes, because, you know, part of what hell's about is making the guilty pay. And there's something about this particular detective that weakens him. And he was ready to go back, and then he found out you can't go back because your mother escaped hell and you gotta get her. So he's staying on Earth in LA, City of Angels, where of course all the sin originates from on Earth. Isn't that right?
And of course, fucking Amenadiel, it's not still not happy. Be like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, Lucifer. I'm eat you. Oh man. Oh, I swear I'll do whatever God needs me to do.
You know who I like on that show? I like the therapist.
Oh, Rachel Harris.
Yeah.
She's Linda.
Yeah, her character when she comes on, it's like, because of who she is, it's something about it. Anyway. And they got the little girl in there, and they don't use her to a great effect like they did in the beginning. No, in the beginning, she was useful because it you know, him not being used to children brought a different dynamic. But, you know, now it's like, well, first of all, she probably going to look too old in season 2 anyway, so you don't get as much as her. Anyway, what's next?
Next up, you remember Farmer Bro?
Who?
Martin Shkreli.
Oh, yeah, that bastard.
Raised up the hiked up prices on the AIDS drugs by more than 5,000%, and it was, and everybody.
Yeah, the
Republican, Democrat, right, left, we all came together to say, fuck this guy.
He's the poster bag for a douchebag. The poster bag.
Yes. Well, he got a little upset this week. And he got upset at Captain America.
And why is that?
Well, here's the thing. Patton Oswalt, love Patton Oswalt, big fan. Love you, Patton, if you're listening.
He's a robot.
Shut up.
He's a live model decoy. You know who he is.
Shut up. Don't ruin this for me.
They didn't use him on S.H.I.E.L.D. last year.
Well, okay. Well, Patton and Skrelly have been having bitter words over Twitter about the hashtag Trump can't swim. Don't know what that's on about, but whatever. But then Chris Evans came on up saying, like, oh, man, Patton Oswalt owning Martin Skrelly is my favorite thing on Twitter right now. Then Skrelly was like, oh, man, fuck you, saying comedian gets a pass because wife died. But you, Chris Evans, I'll fucking destroy. Pretty boy shit for brains. Think your thoughts matter? Said, come to Brooklyn, I'll introduce you to real Captain America. A couple of fucking roundhouse kicks, you say my name again, Chris Evans. You're gonna roundhouse those. Chris Evans gonna respond. You're gonna roundhouse those drug prices or some dumb shit, and 1 million liberals are gonna scream own. And then he just made a whole bunch of videos like, yeah, you know what? Fuck you, Chris Evans. I'm just so fucking way better. And he's trying to show off some of his hot moves, being like, I'll fucking destroy you. I will own Captain America.
What happened to him going to jail for some wonky shit he was supposed to have done? What happened to that?
I don't know. Okay, hold on. I just went by his Twitter. Apparently, he's an MMA trainee as well.
Okay, Jordan. You have messed up. You wasted this show, bringing up that man's name. Don't do it again, and give me the next story.
All right. Well, I fucked this guy. Anyway. Hold on. Okay, so... Gabe Reyes, the younger brother of... Jaime Reyes. No, James. No. Oh, god damn it. Robbie Reyes. Why did I... fucking blank on that. Of all new Ghost Rider has been casted on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's a very important character. He's very pretty much essential. He's going to be played by Lorenzo James Henry of Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I don't know much about the dudes. I don't know much about the new Ghost Rider. I have not read anything on him. I just know he exists. And
well, he's a Los Angeles high school student who works as a mechanic.
And he drives a car.
And yeah, he does auto racing, like to win enough money to take care of Gabe, who is his disabled brother. But one race ends in tragedy, and he's possessed by the spirit of the Ghost Rider.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book. I fucking love Robbie Reyes as a character, and his whole book was awesome. Couldn't get enough. I'm excited about this. So, Star Trek just had its 50th anniversary. Awesome time.
Yeah, it's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. They had a big thing in New York a week ago. But the other thing, the main thing about Star Trek, now, if you watch The Next Generation, you know, they went from the little flip communicators, which, of course, you basically have now in flip phones, to the communicator being inside the emblem on the chest, and you hit a and you talk Enterprise, 6 to beam up. But now you can do that, too, because they've come out with a Bluetooth device shaped like the Next Generation
Signia.
Yes. That you can connect to your phone and actually communicate and use, make it work with voice activated apps on your phone.
The Bluetooth comm badge. And damn, I really want one. You
ready to get yourself an iPhone now, aren't you? And it's around, I think it goes to retails for like $65,
$69. Worth it.
And, we're going to find out who's really a nerd out there, because it's going to be, I'm quite sure a lot of people are going to be walking down the street.
That's, you know, I'll be one, dude, if I can actually afford a smartphone, I'll do it. Fucking worth it.
Now, my only fear is, okay, you put it on your chest, and I'm quite sure you'll be able to speak and the other person hear you. I just don't know how loud you'll be able to hear coming out of there. And then you're not really having a private conversation, because it has to be loud enough that you can hear it, so then everybody can hear it. And we'll see if the world's being changed. Because if that can work, then why haven't we got our transporters yet? Well, who's gonna? Somebody invent the transporter, so I can go to Europe and spend the day there and come back in one piece. You know what I mean? You gonna work on that, Jordan?
Oh yeah, no, I'm excited. That's awesome.
They've been showing original Star Trek on BBC America. Have you been checking it out?
Yeah, I haven't been checking in when I can. Watch a few episodes in between work and all that. So, yeah. Also catching my Next Generation. That's my Trek.
Well, that comes on every day.
I know, but still.
But I saw the episode where they had the young Dr. Polanski on the original episode. You know, when she made a guest appearance. And then, let's see, I saw the one where they ran into Apollo. I saw a Harry Mudd episode.
Ah, that's a classic.
But every episode I've seen, it's always been those episodes where they're on the planet, running around in some costume or something. And they're stuck on the planet. And maybe the ship is stuck, like either the ship hasn't gotten back to the planet, or they're in a predicament but they can't beam anybody up or out. And I haven't seen like any of the. No, I saw part of the Jack the Ripper episode where they were trying to figure out who was this killer, and the Jack the Ripper got into the computer system, and they was trying to work to get him out to the computers, because he was trying to use fear to kill everybody. Anyway. What do you think about the acting on the original Star Trek? You think it's over the top, or you think it's...
There's an over the top sort of charm to some of it. There really is, because Star Trek, you know, at its heart, it's like space pirates. It's like, you know, going around adventuring. Space Western. What?
Space Western.
Okay, it's a mix of both.
No, it was always meant to be a space Western.
The way the structure was, to me, I see it more as like space pirate, like searching lands, all that, exploring worlds.
No, it's Western.
A sort of swashbuckling.
There's no pirate. It's Western. It's
okay. I'm not saying Jesus. Fucking.
It was built as wagon trains of the stars. So just imagine.
Well, I see that, right. But so, I'm just saying I saw this other sort of style to it that I appreciated, and that makes me love it.
So real quick, there was a scene where Kirk was with this woman. The woman was hypnotizing him, and the acting was serious until they got to a point where they started zooming in on the two actors' face, and they was making these strange faces. And then it went back to them being serious real quick before they kissed. Anyway, news. Why don't we get any callers?
I have callers. All right. So Michael Bay, he's got his little fingers.
Rubber
hands in a couple of franchises. One being Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Them turtles, you know, the heroes in a half shell. They, we saw a review of TMNT 2 Out of Shadows this year. Originally, Judith Ho, the original April O'Neil from the 1990s film, was going to make a cameo, but that was missing from the final product. But now the deleted scene has come out ahead of the upcoming home video release. of Out of the Shadows that shows her playing Megan Fox's boss at Channel 6 News, talking about, as they meet in Times Square, saying, like, April, we want to put your name in lights. We want to make you the star of this channel.
I guess Whoopi said, I'm not coming back for this shit.
It's...
Because she was the boss in the first movie.
Oh, yeah. But who was?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, yeah. Okay, do we really want to split hairs on the continuity of the Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles? No, I'm just saying, like, you're saying she was, they filmed her as April's boss.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just saying, Whoopi was a boss in the first movie. Whoopi probably said, I'm not coming back for this shit.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that. It's a continuity fuck up. Or maybe after the events of the final act of the last movie and how she was reporting on it, maybe that got her hired back.
Okay, what's next?
I don't fucking know. Maybe she's sued. And the other one is, of course, Transformers, or as people lovingly referred to it as, the Bayformers, one of the more interesting quote-unquote developments in the previous film, Age of Extinction. By the way, once again, thanks for that great birthday gift, Paramount, was Stanley Tucci as Joshua Joyce, aka this is basically Steve Jobs. What?
I should have been ready for that.
Yeah.
No.
He's coming back.
Yeah, I know.
Transformers Last Night.
See if I can find it real quick. What I want to, what Stanley Tucci brought to the Transformers.
It's under the Constantine story.
No. It's something I wanted to play.
Oh. But yeah, since he wasn't an out-and-out villain, so I guess it's like, oh, we can redeem him, or I don't know, what's even going on in this movie? Someone explain.
You know what, I think I can find it.
Somebody's gonna suck.
I think I have a,
I ain't seeing it.
Sorry. I should have been queued up.
Disappointing, you surfer.
Yeah, I know.
I'm. You let me down. You let our fans down.
I know.
what a terrible day.
Okay, one more thing. I'm gonna try.
Okay, let's see how this goes.
I think I have it now. Okay. If I don't have it, then it's going to take me a second, too.
Moving on.
No, that's not it. That's not it. Yeah. People. Fucking up.
But, may I move on?
As much as you don't know. Nope. Because I want to play this, it's important. See, I have a method to my madness.
All right, play it.
All right, I mean, if I don't find it here, then...
Family.
Sorry. What I wanted to play was the part where Stanley Tucci is in the car and he goes, oh my god! Because that's what he brought to the movie, basically.
Oh, gee. You could have queued that up.
Yeah, I should have had that ready. Yeah, I fucked up. Yeah, Stanley Tucci. That doesn't give me confidence that he's coming back. Not that he was terrible, but his character was
confirmed?
like... What?
Yeah, he is coming back. They said...
Okay. I got what his character was about, right? You know, he was trying to take advantage of the fact of a technology, alien technology. So what purpose does he serve now? Is he still the dick he was in the last movie, or is he now working with the Autobots? Because in the last movie, he was telling them, hey, fuck off, we don't need you no more. And then, of course, he had to change his mind because his life was in danger.
Yeah, but again, as the article said, he wasn't an out-and-out villain.
Right, he wasn't the villain, but still, he was...
Although he did have a huge part in helping the plans of the antagonist.
And then when he got to the point where he's helping the good guys, he became a archetype that is in a lot of Michael Bay films, where you have the person is just all of a sudden they become incompetent, screaming at everything, scared of everything. And like throughout that movie, there's a character like that. Like at first it was a T.J. Miller, like everything he did was like he's shaggy. He's running around. He's scared of everything.
Did he have time to go into Transformers?
Yeah, real quick. And then he gets killed. And then Mark Wahlberg's daughter's boyfriend becomes that character until Stanley Tucci takes over. Yeah, see, I'm done. Hey, it's my show. If I want to derail the show, I can. Keep that in mind.
All right, I was just saying, because we're on a bit of a time frame.
Look, I keep an eye on the clock, and if we run out of time, we run out of time. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? Even if we run out of time, this network can wait a few minutes. You know that pre-show can wait? We don't have to go on the 7. That way, he's not the boss of me. If he got to wait to 10 after 7, he wait to 10 after 7. When I'm done, I'm done. Okay? Now... let's move on before he calls in and start yelling at us.
Let's talk about our heroes and our neighbors to the north. Chapter House is apparently ready to launch an all-star Canadian superhero universe next year. Chapter House Comics announced this last weekend at Fan Expo about expanding their Canadian superheroes with several new series.
Well, you know, the most famous Canadian superhero is ours. That's Wolverine.
Yes, that is true. Right now, Captain Canuck series revival, both in comics and animation, apparently is doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
They want to expand the whole universe. And apparently some of the upcoming lineups include Agents of Pact, an all-woman super team, including heroes like Red Coat and Quebec. Golden Age Canadian hero Freelance. A new sci-fi story called Northern Light by Van Jensen and Eric Kim. Captain Canuck crossover with Pitiful Human Lizard. I guess that's a character. And Northgard. I'm kind of curious.
You said Northstar?
Northgard.
Oh, Northgard. Because Northstar, that's a Marvel.
That's an American character. Yeah, I'm aware.
No, not American, but Marvel. Anyway, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but can you sell to the American audience? That's the question.
I think you get the right creators behind it. You definitely can. Because think about it, there's plenty of Canadian, creators as well working over here.
But everybody knows that all dangers happen in New York, so.
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, I'm curious to try some of these.
Me too. Look, if it's good, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. All for it.
Now, let's talk about a real superhero. And he's not a superhero, but yet he's been saving people for decades now.
Decades, you say?
Decades. I mean, a real live detective.
Like, who is like this great
bravery,
guy?
Courage, getting no braver than Scooby-Doo.
Oh, man.
him and his mystery bunch is coming to the big screen in animated form, and Dax Shepard is going to co-direct the animated Scooby-Doo movie.
Now,
Yeah, I'm wondering. Like, the WWE's been putting out Scooby-Doo movies as of late.
Yeah, WrestleMania Mystery and Curse of the Speed Demon.
Right, so are they involved in this, or this is totally separate?
From what I'm reading, no.
Dax Shepard is, you know, actor, comedian, married to, Kristen Bell, yeah. How do you pull that off? Anyway.
Special. This apparently will also not be his first directorial time, because he's also writing, directing, and starring in a big screen adaptation of Chips.
Well, he's had movies come out that he's was behind the camera on. He did it.
Oh yeah, well, mainly writing.
No, I mean, but he did a movie that he was in, his wife was in. It was a few
hit
years
and run.
Ago, huh?
Hit and Run.
Was it Hit and Run?
Yes, Hit and Run.
Yeah. Okay. You know, that doesn't scare me that he's involved with this, because I think he could probably get the voice of that show.
He's directed films before. Never mind.
No, I'm just saying, like, it. You know, just because he direct doesn't mean that he understands Scooby-Doo. Like, you got to understand who you're dealing with as far as Scooby-Doo. What makes it work? Why he's been so enduring for so many decades, and what kind of humor you can and can't use with Scooby-Doo. Like, you can't do a Scooby-Doo movie where it's dark, or, you know, Fred kills somebody, or Velma's taking off her clothes for any Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Then you need a Scooby-Doo porn parody.
Porn parodies don't count, but I'm just saying, like, you got to keep the right tone for Scooby-Doo, and, you know, what kind of villains they go up against.
I'm just upset there will be no Vince McMahon voiceover in this movie.
That's okay. Now, whether people want to see a Scooby-Doo in a theater and whether to make money, it's another story.
This is interesting, but I'm just not too sure how hot I am. I'm a moderate fan of Scooby-Doo. I like Scooby-Doo. I'm just not...
Can I be honest? I don't know if I've ever said this before, and I have, if you
haven't.
Go
ahead. Fucking do it.
I've never been a big fan of Scooby-Doo. I mean, there's been versions of Scooby-Doo that I've watched. I was more into when Scooby-Doo started... Like, when I was a kid, I was more into Scooby-Doo when the celebrities started showing up, like Batman and the Harlem Globetrotters. And Phyllis Diller and stuff. And then
Wasn't there a weird meta episode where Casey Kasem showed up, even though he was still voicing Scooby and Shaggy?
Yeah, well, Casey Kasem was big at one time.
I recognize.
Yeah, I know.
That's why,
yeah,
that's voicing... why I asked the question.
Yeah, yeah. And then when I was a bigger fan of Scrappy. Like that.
Oh, fuck Scrappy.
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't like Scrappy, but Scrappy started making me watch Scooby Doo more than anything.
Oh God, fuck Scrappy! Scrappy-Doo is okay. I've been having an internal debate for years. Who's a worse character, the Great Gazoo or Scrappy-Doo?
Neither.
Oh, they both suck.
No, you just don't understand Gazoo, but
he's an asshole.
Yeah, you have to remember it. The Flintstones was an adult TV show in prime time. That wasn't a kid's show. So when Gazoo showed up, he was comic. He was bringing more comedy to the show.
Yeah,
now,
not that good. Comedy.
I think we all can agree, Scooby Dumb was a stupid character.
Man, if I could live in a world without Scrappy, dude, that'd be great.
Now. And then, of course, when Blue Falcon and Dog Wonder was added to the show, you know, I enjoyed that. Even though I would like to see a serious take on Blue Falcon and Dog Wonder. But anyway, don't lose sleep over it. Okay,
I said
don't lose sleep over it. Now we all watched the first season of Supergirl, and
love it.
You know, was excited when it was revealed that the Martian Manhunter was on there. Hank Henshaw was the Martian Manhunter disguise, and I jumped up out of my seat when he first turned into Martian Manhunter for the first time. Woo! And I was like, yeah!
I would love to see a video of that.
Well, season two, we're getting Miss Martian. Played by Sharon Neill, who's been in a variety of shows and TV and movies.
Yes, and apparently the inclusion of Miss Martian's gonna make old John Jones open up.
Yeah, because he's not alone.
Yeah, he's gonna suddenly have a connection to that he's been lacking for going on about 300 years. Andrew Kreisberg said, like, he's dealing with survivor's guilt, and he spent the last few hundred years burying that. It's only because of his interactions with Kara and deepening his relationship with Alex that he gets to start to tap back into that. And that Miss Martian's arrival is opening those floodgates.
Yeah, it's just a surprise.
Yeah. Although, that could also mean that could be Miss Martian in that pod at the end of season one.
Well, they did do an episode where they was dealing with the white Martians.
Yes.
So, yeah, so that's been introduced, and Miss Martian is a white Martian, but she takes the form of a green Martian to blend in with the rest of humanity and so on, and says that she's the niece of the Martian Manhunter, just to keep people from bothering her.
Well, while we're on about DC comic shows on the CW, man, they just keep giving us a whole bunch of material every week, and I thank you for it. The upcoming Flashpoint arc of The Flash will apparently leave some things broken forever.
Yeah, I mean, you mess with time. We know what from the New 52, things don't go back the way they were when you switch things up, switch things back from.
Kreisberg, going back to Kreisberg, said, various repeated alterations to the timeline is going to change some things permanently. And Flashpoint is said to last only a few episodes, but it's going to have lasting effects all season long. Kreisberg adding, there will be consequences that last throughout the season, and quite frankly, last throughout the series. That's one of the things that we're attempting to do, is have the pitfalls of time travel be long-lasting, and that some things can be fixed, and some things are broken forever. And I, for one, am very intrigued by that. I can't wait to see how that goes.
It does seem interesting.
It really does. Now, a couple Legends of Tomorrow stories. One of my personal highlights in season one was Jonah Hex. I love that character, and I'm a particularly big fan of that episode of his.
Yeah, that's the Jonah Hex from the movie, right?
No, shut up. Shut your filthy mouth. No, it is not.
You need to watch who you're talking to, wouldn't you? Anyway, Jonah Hex was, you know, I've had a chance to rewatch Legend of Tomorrow through the reruns, and when you know the whole season in full context, it's a great
ride.
Season.
Yeah.
Because I had mentioned it earlier, like you're watching the episodes are good, but you don't know where it's leading up to until you get to the end and you see how everything ties into it, and they weren't just they were bungling around, but there was a reason why they was bungling around.
So rewatching it's made it a better show.
Yeah, because you know everything's in context.
All right.
The Jonah Hex episode was it was one of the better episodes, was when they were dealing with somebody like Jonah Hex showing up, And hopefully we'll get more of that this season. We'll get, I guess, so we'll get a Jonah Hex.
No, it's confirmed. Jonathan Skaich, who plays the character, confirmed on Twitter. He holding up a script for a episode titled Outlaw Country.
And then, you know, Constantine's supposed to show up, and we're getting Justice League characters.
At some point. But sticking on Legends of Tomorrow, one of the artifacts, if you look real closely, if you got an eagle eye like me and Surfer, or a whole bunch of people on the internet, you'll know one of the artifacts out on the Wave Rider in Rip Hunter's sort of captain's quarters, I guess you'd say that, is Sergeant Rock's helmet. Of course, leading to speculation that maybe the Long Town Care is going to be showing up. Well, Mark Guggenheim, executive producer on it, has said, like, yeah, he's going to be there eventually.
So wait. That was Sergeant Rock we saw in that episode?
No, Sergeant Rock's helmet. Although...
Right.
Oh, you mean the war episode. Possibly. I think that may have been him, but I doubt it, given the context of what Guggenheim said, saying he's always a possibility. We always talk about it. We talked about it in the 1940s, and we thought we've got enough heroes with the JSA.
Sergeant Rock is such a tragic character.
I love Sergeant Rock. He's pretty cool.
If you don't know about Sergeant Rock, you know, he's a World War II character. But what makes him tragic is he's the very last person to die in World War II. He dies at the very end of that war. The last person to die. That's what makes it tragic.
Yeah, that makes him an endlessly fascinating character. It's just, oh. And our last, DCW.
I'm a Sergeant Fury fan anyway, so.
I'm just kidding.
Let's move on.
DCW. That's. I'm just gonna make that acronym happen. Make it happen, people. Seth Rollins came out, showing off the costumes of Wild Dog, Artemis, and Mr. Terrific.
I looked at those pictures. I didn't see much. I couldn't make anything out.
Well, the one we got a good look of is Artemis, since there's a. You know, also a picture of her posing for a picture with a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being like, oh, thanks for coming out. Yay, old show. It's awesome. I like what the briefness of what we saw with Terrific. It's like, okay, seem to be getting that down. Wild Dog, that's curious. But, you know, we'll see. I hope the one thing I hope that's on that Terrific costume is, of course, fair play. Mm-hmm. You gotta keep that pretty big thing about the character. But these look good. Feeling it. Speaking of DCW, again, make that happen, people. Stephen Amell, he wants to compete on American Ninja Warrior.
Why not? Cody Rhodes wants to be an actor. Stephen Amell wants to be an athlete.
Yeah, Stephen Amell, God, man, look at that man. I'm not afraid to admit, he is a sexy man. And he is.
Keep that to yourself.
What?
I don't want to hear it.
I can open.
I don't want to hear the word sexy and man ever again.
I think you're a sexy man.
I still don't want to hear it.
But no doubt, Stephen Amell, not only impressive on his acting ability, but also being able to stay in shape with his, the physically demanding role, of course, as Green Arrow. So, and he's shown off more than enough that he is strong as fuck. He is swole.
I don't know about how strong he is.
Pull-up bar of his where he...
Right.
Yeah, he's
that still could be wire trickery.
No. Stephen Amell's proven. It's been proven. There are no wires. That's all Amell.
He can do that. But
yeah, he can legit do that.
That time he showed up, was it SummerSlam or was it whatever?
SummerSlam 2015.
Right. He looked skinny as hell in the ring. Like, you see him on Arrow and you think he's cut, but when he got in the ring with a real wrestler, he looked skinny as hell. Anyway.
Hey, nobody in chat.
That is to say.
But Amel was at Salt Lake Comic Con and apparently was pushed over the edge, saying in 2017 he'd like to compete on NBC's American Ninja Warrior. And apparently, co-host of the show, Matt Eisman, responded on Twitter saying, "We accept. Can we borrow the Arrow cave for the city finals?" So, we could be seeing Oliver Queen taking on that obstacle course.
You know, I watch American Ninja Warrior from time to time, not as much as I used to. I think 30 years ago, I would have given it a try. I would.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I probably would have gotten up to everything except for that warp wall. I would never be able to get up that warp wall. And I know what my limitations were when I was young, and pulling myself up a warp wall I would never get up that wall. Other than that, everything up to that wall I could do.
Okay.
Anyway, speaking of our athletic abilities, Jordan?
Yeah.
You gotta get off your knees with these push-ups, man. I know you're doing a good thing for charity.
Get the fuck over it.
You know, those are girl push-ups. And I ain't trying to put you down.
I'm sorry, because I'm not a real man. Is that it? Fuck off.
I'm not calling you a less of a man. I'm just saying, you know, I'm watching you do it. And you're not doing it right. You gotta do it right, buddy.
You know what?
Hey,
surfer, there's no wrong way to do a push-up.
You gotta come off those knees. You gotta go down to your chin.
Hey, you know what, surfer? Hey, guess what? I'll admit, I'm doing that push-up challenge thing for you on Facebook. Look, I admit, I suck at push-ups. I don't regularly do
push-ups. Well, I can't even do a push-up anymore, so, huh?
Hold on. I don't regularly do push-ups because I've never been that quite good at them, but I saw a challenge to get out, but I saw a way to get out of my comfort zone when it comes to my normal exercise routine, and also... Hey!
Now, you know, I have a question for you. Are you posting a new video every day?
Yes.
Because it kind of looked like it was the same video. I wasn't sure.
Just
cool.
Yeah.
Hey, good for you. Are you swole now? Are you ripped?
I don't know.
Titties feel bigger?
I don't know. With my metabolism, who the fuck knows?
You know, if the guns ain't getting bigger... Tell you, man, coming up to the knees, you feel a difference.
Again, I don't do.
Take some Ico Pro.
Oh, we're going that way back. Okay. Look, again.
Hey, everybody, send Jordan encouragements on push ups.
How about now? Because I know some people are going to give me shit about mine.
So, how many have you done?
I'm on day 14.
How many have you done?
22.
22 a day?
22 per day, yes. I did my 22 today.
Are you not feeling swole?
I'm fine. I'm feeling good. Feeling healthy.
You feeling healthy?
Yeah.
All right, you ready to do one-handed push-ups?
Oh, hell no. Fuck no. I know my
limits. Are you going to continue after the challenge to do push-ups?
Maybe, I don't know. Because again, as I've said, as I've been trying to say, I don't regularly do push-ups because I kind of suck at them. I'm more of a sit-up guy because that way if my back sort of fucks up on me like it normally could do, I can just sit, you know, lay down, take a rest. I usually just do, you know, lift free weights. That's more what I do for...
I want to see a clap in between one of those push-ups.
You know, you're not dictating my push-ups. I'm doing push-ups my way. You, all right, sorry. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone, if I'm upsetting anyone.
Hey, man, nobody says you're offending.
I'm just
get off those knees, that's all.
I'm just fucking with people right now. Can you let me do that?
Okay.
I'm sorry if I'm not adhering to the traditional push-ups, but fuck tradition, okay? I'll do push-ups how I need to. Everyone else do push-ups how you need to. I ain't judging. I don't give a fuck. Let's move the hell on. Now that we've talked about my physical exercise regimen, which I apparently was not expecting to talk about. Although I may continue doing push-ups, who knows? I doubt it after I get to day 22. Who knows?
Okay.
Whatever.
Jordan the Push-Up King, everybody. Give my hand.
Yeah. Those are JC Puzzles. Is JC Puzzles meant to be an insult or something, nobody? I can't tell. I cannot tell. But whatever. I don't give a shit. I'll do me, you do you, and all that. All right. Woo! All right, so Killing Joke kind of sucked. Okay, not kind of. It really sucked. Boy.
Not all of Killing Joke. Just mostly what they added to pad it out.
Yeah, but when I look at the product overall, yeah, I'm still standing by my skip it rating. Just fully skip it. Again, yeah, a couple of the highlights of that movie were Conroy and Hamill. They still work as Batman and Joker, especially working together. So they were at Fan Expo for a reunion panel about Batman the Animated Series. They were talking about, more movies they could possibly do. Like, one of the final questions is if they're finished with the characters and what would they love to go to next. They both enthusiastically said no, and Conroy turned to Hamill and said, "What do you think about doing Hush?" Then the crowd cheered. And then Hamill said, "What do you think about doing A Death in the Family?" And then they cheered. So Conroy and Hamill would like to do animated adaptations of Hush and A Death in the Family. We kinda got Death in the Family.
Yeah, we got Death in the Family with Red Hood.
Yeah, yeah. Like a condensed version. Hush. Okay, I know Hush is a pretty damn divisive Batman story.
Alright, people. Death in the Family as a story. It's not an all-time great written story, but
I was talking about Hush, but okay.
Hold up. Real quick. It's a good story, but the main thing was that people got to vote on us killing off Robin. As far as Hush, I don't think Hush was considered a great written story. It was more the fact that Jim Lee did the art, and that's what sold it. But Hush as a storyline is okay. It's not an all-time great. If you want to do a story, No Man's Land. I'd be more interested in seeing No Man's Land. What do you think?
No Man's Land. Maybe. I mean, No Man's Land, you just can't, but how could you, No Man's Land's a big, like, sprawling story. I don't think you can do that in, like, their usual 75 minute.
No, you'd have to do it in parts. But the Joker in No Man's Land was a lot more, like, when he came, finally got in No Man's Land, you know, that storyline was deep. I mean, he killed Commissioner Gordon's wife. Didn't he kill his wife in that storyline?
No, not late.
Yeah, I believe he killed his wife.
I think he did. Yeah. It's cards on the table. Been a good goddamn while since I've read that. Like, all of it, including Cataclysm. Here's the thing. No Man's Land, I think, could work a little better. Because, yeah, you can do it in parts, and you can also... It's not just a Batman story. It's a Gotham City story. It's examining, what already a shithole Gotham is, but, you know, you're throwing a megaton earthquake, like the biggest goddamn disaster possible, and what it does when crime is just like, everything's free, nothing's legal, I'ma kill you to steal that TV.
And then, also,
yeah, it's interesting. I would think that could work.
And then No Man's Land got stupid when the Joker meets the Alatola and starts working for him.
Yeah, that part of the story kind of lost me.
It was on the right track when, okay, so, you know, why do I keep blanking on his name? Come on, help me out, Jordan. What are you doing?
I'm trying to fucking remember.
Who's Robin? Robin. What's his name?
Tim Drake.
Not Tim Drake.
What? No, that's Tim Drake in that story. In No Man's Land, Robin's Tim
Drake. No, I'm talking about Death of the Family.
Oh, that's Jason Todd.
Jason Todd, right. So Jason Todd's reckless, and he gets his ass beat, and he's killed, and Batman is feeling guilty. And that, really, all that stems from the fact that, you know, in Dark Knight Returns, you know, you got the Robin costume, and the Joker's written on it, and it always left you wondering what happened. And that's what he came up with Death in the Family. It was on the right track when Bruce Wayne is standing there, and the Joker walks into the room, and he got diplomatic immunity. And for some reason, he whispers into Bruce Wayne's ear as if he knows Bruce Wayne and Batman is the same person. But they, you know, it leaves you thinking, but you're not sure if he knows. But he says something smart to Bruce Wayne, of all people. And he's always fucked with Bruce Wayne as if he knows. But they never really reveal if he knows his identity or not. But you would think the Joker would know who his identity is. I mean, Bane figured it out in a day. The Joker's had years to fuck with Batman. You'd think he would know who he's fucking with at this point. Anyway. So, yeah. We got Death of the Family already. And go see Red Hood. People think it's superior.
Yeah, Under the Red Hood. That's a great movie.
Yeah, people feel that superior, so.
Definitely watch that. But Hush. Again, Hush is a pretty divisive Batman story. I mean, I love Hush. I think it's intriguing.
But the artwork is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, Jim Lee. Yeah, art's great. Story, it's kind of all over the place. Like, I like Jeff Loeb's Batman. Again. Batman the Long Halloween, written by Jeff Lynn, my favorite comic book ever.
Maybe they should do that.
But that'd be great. I'd fucking be all over that. But sometimes, yeah, Loeb seems to want to really write all of Batman's rogues gallery at once. And that was kind of also evident in... But with Long Halloween, it worked. But with Dark Victory, like the Long Halloween sequel, okay. That sort of worked. Sort of worked. Because there was a great, like, neat little plan that came towards the end. But Hush, yeah, that kind of seemed like the bigger question. Like, all right, yo, Jeff, focus on somebody. All right, you can't, like, put all, you know, you can't mix and match all the damn time. I'm slightly curious. I'm not too sure. Really, Hush, I'm not. Would you want a Hush anime? I'm kind of not feeling it.
No, and that was like a year long storyline too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That you can't condense that down to an hour and a half.
That took all over. Long Halloween, 2-part movie. But I would say overall, yeah, not that high up on possibly a Hush animated film. It's not that big fan of the story. I mean, yeah, the art's great. It gave us two of our favorite. It gave us great that great side-by-side pose of Batman and Superman on their respective sides, standing on a gargoyle or a, you know, building fixture. That's awesome. And some cool moments. But, yeah, I'm just not feeling that. We don't need that. Again, go watch Under the Red Hood. And, hey, maybe a No Man's Land movie. That'd be pretty sweet, but who knows.
Now, sad news, but not too sad. Batman the movie director Leslie H. Martinson has died. He lived to be 101 years old.
Wow.
And, yeah, good for him, man.
You get to
live a century in a year. You've had two lifetimes, so at least.
Gotta live life right.
The Batman 66 movie, of course, is it's always beloved, you know, Batman running down the pier with a bomb and him falling in love with Catwoman and him trying to bring war peace.
And some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Yeah. And of course, we got the bat anti shark repellent.
Ah, the bat anti shark repellent. How could we ever forget the bat anti bat shark repellent? How could we? You know, Batman could have used that in Arkham City. And you know what I'm talking about, people.
And you know, you gotta realize how durable Batman's suit is, because in the beginning of that movie, Batman is bitten. He has a shark on his leg, and so when he gets the shark up, there's no scratches on him. So,
oh yeah,
that bat suit was strong even back in the day.
Yep, but man, Martinson, you live life right. You live to be this long. That's awesome. Again, of course, condolences to the family. You know, it's a loss, still a loss, but you know what? Guy went out right.
Now, I know you're going to be reading this soon about the new Teen Titans.
I'm excited to hopefully read a Teen Titans book again.
With Damian Wayne taking over as the Titan leader. Yeah, but Raven's getting the short end of the stick because they're making her into a child again.
As long as we got rid of that stupid ass New 52 costume, it's all good.
And we're getting the new Kid Flash, which is of course there's two Wally West.
Yep, this is the previous Wally West before Wally West Prime came on back. The art, again, and there's also concept art of the character designs out there with artist John Boy Myers, who gave an interview about working on the book with Comic Book Resources. And I'm kind of liking some of these designs. Although, Titan's Tower, that's a bit... that's a bit flashier than I'd like for my taste. But.
So, yeah, this concept art for Beast Boy, this two costumes for the Flash. I kind of like the red and the black.
Yeah,
Some of the yellow and red ones ain't bad.
I like what they got for Starfire. Especially, like...
At least she's more of the Starfire we know. They ain't
de-aging
her.
Oh, agreed. I would... Oh, by the way, recommendation, Starfire by the Harley Quinn team. Sure, the Harley Quinn book wasn't that good. The current Harley Quinn book ain't that good, me personally, but they nailed it with Starfire. And I like the costume designs, mainly the first and last one. The one in the middle, but
Kid Flash better not start saying booyah.
But I will say, damn, the Beast Boy designs look really good. Like, we got a nice little mixture of what we've seen before, also some TV animated, and also throwback to his original looking costume.
I like the red one.
Yeah, no, red and white, harkening back to them good old days of Perez and Wolfman. Ooh, that's a good look. It's really good look.
Yeah, it what's wrong with Beast Boy? He can't grow up?
Yes.
I mean, he's been a boy now forever. You think he'd be a beast man by now?
Beast man. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue, does it?
Yeah, but still. I mean, he was young from the beginning, but... At this point, you'd think he would have grown up enough to, you know...
Be a beastman! Beastman.
Getting laid or something. Unless he's just stuck in that size.
All right, how do we not know Beast Boy ain't got
that's
laid?
What I'm asking. I don't know.
Fair point. Fair point.
Do not know.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to Teen Titans. This book's looking good. Again, hopefully I can enjoy and read a Teen Titans book again. Point one, not written by Scott Lobdell. Off to a good start. We got three last stories. I'll just run through these real quick.
Well, we're one about the Flash Supergirl musical crossover.
Yes.
There's going to be a four-parter where...
Four-parter?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a two-parter.
No, that's all we said. It's going to be a four-parter.
All right. Where the hell are you reading this?
Click on the story. Unless I'm seeing double.
Okay, that says four-show crossover. That's referring to the big one, the Supergirl... It's been confirmed that the Supergirl Flash one's going to be self-contained.
Oh, okay. Okay, never mind. I'm seeing that. They promised some original crossover songs.
Yes. Good.
Supergirl returns October 4th.
And apparently they just finished writing the big fall crossover of all four shows.
No, Flash returns October 4th. Supergirl returns October 10th on the CW.
Yep.
The DCW.
DC. Ah, see? Catching on, people. Make it happen.
You know, I said a couple of years ago, I'm going to be curious to see which of these companies come up with a 24-hour network first. And it seemed like DC's doing it a back doorway with the CW. You know, just get rid of Who Line Is It and Beauty and the Beast, and you might have a 24-hour network. Anyway.
Yeah, we got, all right, last two stories. Just going to go through these real quick. All right, so Constant, what the shit, I accidentally posted that twice. All right, anyway, Wonder Woman is apparently going to have a connection on the upcoming NBC mid-season show Powerless, of course, about superhero insurance within the DC Universe. Vanessa Hudgens took the saying her character will be dealing, when we meet up with her character, she'll be working... her first task as a claims adjuster is working in an area left in shambles by a Wonder Woman battle.
How nice.
Yeah, that'll be pretty interesting.
Now, when is this supposed to hit the air?
Mid season, sometime around January 2017.
So after football season.
More like during football season, because they're still going to be the playoffs.
You said January, right?
January, yeah.
That's after football season, because the playoffs don't count.
Playoffs don't count?
No. When the playoffs said that'll be on the weekends, so that won't affect, there won't be no Thursday night football.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, last story. Constantine, the one and only season. It's coming to Blu-ray DVD. Warner Archives. Their print-on-demand service for DVDs, Blu-rays, will release Constantine on Blu-ray soon with advertisements running in the back of DC Comics this week. Former Constantine showrunner Daniel Cerone saying, if that's true, then the fans made that happen. I give them all the credit because they've made their voices known and never gave up. I'm continually overwhelmed by the passion out there for this character. Awesome. And apparently, of course, people have been saying this is a potential, the Warner Archive could be a potential home for Constantine. This could help save it, but Cerone even, put it out there himself saying, in the age of streaming, DVD releases become rare, safe for ongoing hit shows. So, who the hell knows? But we do know we'll be able to finally own the one and only season of Constantine coming pretty soon. And that's the news.
Well, what's next?
Nothing.
What's next then?
I just said that's the news. That's all the
something.
Stories.
It's always something next.
There. That's all the stories.
I didn't say what story's next. So what's next?
I don't know.
What's next is to talk about the other fine program here on Ant Rant EM Radio.
Of course. What are the other? What other shows have we got?
Well. we're going to give you something for your ear hole in the next few minutes, because at 7 p.m., that's in a few minutes, will be the start of the WWE pay-per-view pre-show here on EM Radio. What's the name of the pay-per-view? Backlash? Revenge?
Backlash.
Yeah, so the Backlash pre-show here on EM Radio will take place in a few minutes. And then we give you a pre-show at 11, according to Rage, but I call it the post-show at 11. So after you watch the WWE pay-per-view, come back at 11, but we'll talk about that, plus what happened with CM Punk and all the other crazy stuff. Now, we ain't talking about CM Punk no more. But anyway, pre- and post-show here on Rant Radio. And then Tuesday will be a live episode of The Rant at 8 p.m. with Tony C. And Mr. Drew himself taking over the airwaves, talking about Raw, maybe filling in more about the pay-per-view. Who knows? We're going over something irrelevant about wrestling, but more entertaining. Every Wednesday, you get a new episode of Thumbstick Ninjas, and when you don't get a new episode, you get a repeat, because every other Wednesday, Thumbstick Ninjas, the new show here on Rant Radio. Lots of pop culture, I believe. That's the show about pop culture. And then Thursday, more wrestling with Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. And then Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. on Fridays. You learn yourself something. And then, if you got nothing else to do, you don't have a date, your life is sad, but you want friends, call into the Wrestling Calling Show live at 11, William Morgan. He'll let you talk about wrestling and maybe some other sporting events. And have a good old time. And we'll be back live next week at the terrible time of 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading comic book show here on Rant EM Radio. Because without us, you probably wouldn't want to tune in.
Yeah, exactly. We are the glue that holds us together. And we are also a Ranty Award winning show.
Yeah, I guess. And,
you shit talking my award, man?
I haven't talked no shit yet. You know what I will. You know, when I talk, what's little homie saying?
I don't know. We ain't heard from little homie. You know,
he's just upset that the show's over.
Oh, hold on. It said, hey, Gotham Grumps, I ain't impressed. No repeats? Well, ain't that a bitch? The show's almost over. Hey, kid. Hey, kiddo, you selling any seats? What the fuck is he on about?
Well, you're about to get a new live show in a few minutes. We're going out the air. But stick around. Stay in the chat room. Chat with your chat friends. Chat with nobody. Chat with where the fuck was Stanley at tonight?
Do you really want to jinx this right now?
I'm just saying. He must be on the run from the law or something.
Which wouldn't surprise me.
He's resting. He's in the olden sleep. So. And, football season has started today, so we hope that your team or your fantasy team is doing well. And,
go Packers.
Yeah, screw them. Anyway, the real game is tonight. The mighty, mighty Patriots.
Yes, with Tom Brady. Oh, wait.
That's all right. Keep making fun of Tom Brady. He's going to be mad when he come back. Anyway, we're going to say goodnight now. See you next week. Say goodnight, Jordan.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you. Thanks for listening. Peace.